And we'll read the first five verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, and no one else. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now when you look at the particular verses 2 and 5, it looks at first sight as though you have one of the contradictions that we are told by some are in our Bible. In verse 2, we're told to bear one another's burdens. In verse 5, we're told that every man shall bear his own burden. Well, that's what we'll get to in just a minute or two. First of all, I'd like to point out that just where this comes in this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in the province of Galatia. It's a very simple epistle in one sense, and yet very, very important. And it's very simple to analyze. And in the analysis of it, we have not just a mental exercise, but I believe we have brought before us a divine order that God follows in teaching us his truth. The first two verses are personal experience. But that is for them by the next two chapters. Chapters 1 and 2 are experience, the experience of the apostle. Now that's good. And personal experience can be a real blessing when rightly used. We call it our testimony. And when we witness to and we testify of the Lord's saving grace or his keeping grace or his dealings with us, that can be a real blessing and undoubtedly has been. But we mustn't stop there. You can't prove anything by your experience except that you experienced it. But you can't prove anything. I've had people tell me all kinds of visions and whatnot. Well, I'm not going to argue with you that you may have experienced that, but that proves nothing whatsoever. And so the apostle passes on in the next two chapters, 3 and 4, to an exposition of the scriptures regarding what he has talked about in his personal experience. Now there you're on solid ground. We have an experience. Good. Can we back it up by the scriptures? Does it measure up to the teaching of the Word of God? A person comes to me and says, I speak with tongues. Well, I'm not going to argue with you. I only speak with one, and I have a problem with it. But I'm not going to argue with you. But what are you trying to prove? Well, then they tell me what they're trying to prove. Well, I tell them, now that just doesn't measure up to the book. And I'm not at all concerned about what kind of experience you had. I want to know, does it measure up to the correct exposition of the Word of God? But if we have that in chapters 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, in 5 and 6, God always goes ahead to make these things of practical application in our life. And so you have experience in the first two chapters, good. You have the exposition of the scriptures in the next two to test it or to verify the experience. And then you have in the last two chapters the exhortation of how to use this in a practical way in life and all experiences of life. And that's what we have here. And so we have gotten into that part of this letter that exhorts us to do certain things. And we want to just center our little study tonight around answering this question: are you carrying your load? Now, I hope you're not carrying the load of your sins. You don't need to. Christ bore that. We read in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree. So thank God you and I don't need to bear the load of our sins. I hope you're not bearing the load of your cares, because Christ offers to take that. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon him. The little ones, the big ones, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we don't need to bear the load of our sins. We should not bear the load of our cares. But while taking that full into consideration, there is a load that Christians should be carrying. And so we ask ourselves the question tonight: am I carrying my load? And I want very briefly to point out to you some things that this load consists of. The first that we're looking at is in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that you and I are, as Christians, justified by grace through faith, as has been clearly explained in the previous chapters, we are to bear the burden of other believers. Now, what turns a seeming contradiction into a beautiful opportunity to the apostle to impress on us some delightful truths is the fact that the word burdens in verse 2 is quite different in the original from the word burden in verse 5. They have a different signification altogether, and that's what I want to point out to begin with. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, that is literally a load, a weight. You remember what you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, where the apostle is talking about the trials, the testings, the tribulations that come to the child of God now, the suffering that he endures in the will of God. He says these things are light affliction, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. That's the word of glory. So very simply here, when you and I see a Christian under a weight, under a load, we are to help to carry that load. I've often remarked in all my reading, to me the most satisfying definition of sympathy is this that I came across somewhere. I have no recollection where it was, but it's always stuck with me. Sympathy is two hearts tugging at one load. Now, I like that. Sympathy isn't just going and shedding a tear. Sympathy isn't just saying a few nice platitudes. Sympathy is getting under that load and helping to bear it. Two hearts tugging at one load. Now, you and I will have no difficulty finding some of our brethren and sisters who are under a load, under a weight. Now, we're to bear that with them. And in doing that, we shall fulfill the law of Christ. Very clearly, that is his word, which has sometimes been called the 11th commandment: love one another. And so in caring. This is a practical outworking of that. Loving one another is not just simply saying, I love you, brother, or I love you, sister, or I love all the Christians. Love, in a practical way, is helping to bear their burdens. Now, that's part of our load. And we could go on. We could turn to Philippians chapter 2. And you remember there, you'd read in verse 4, the words of the apostle when he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And a little farther down, referring to Timothy, he says, now I hope to send him shortly to you, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now that is just exactly what we are exhorted about here in this verse. I remember hearing many years ago of a little girl carrying a big bouncing baby boy, and she was struggling along with him, and a man stopped and said to her, that's a pretty heavy burden for you to carry, isn't it, little girl? She said, sir, that's not a burden, that's my brother. Well, yeah, that's just exactly what this verse says. The burdens of our brothers and of our sisters should be our burdens as well. And so that's part of our load. Now look down at verse 5. Because, you see, here we have that perfect balance that the Scripture always presents. It's so easy to get out of balance. And some are forever talking about one line of things until they get it so far out of balance it's actually heresy instead of truth. Now, the Bible is never like that. If it talks about something on this side, as it were, it'll almost immediately talk about something over here. So you get in balance. Now, if you just had verse 2, there would always be those who would be trying to put their burdens on somebody else. You'll find plenty of those, too. There are lots of people with burdens, and there are lots of people that are quite willing to let you have the whole thing. 100%, they'd be glad to roll it all on you and walk off. But now that isn't what the Bible is teaching. But here he says, every man shall bear his own burden. And here, the word means not the thought of a load, but the thought of a task or service. And you see how that's connected with verse 4. Let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now that might seem a rather strange verse, but it simply means this. You and I are sold to shoulder our own responsibilities that we will be able to rejoice in what God does through us, not in another. That will not minister to pride. That will not increase our self-esteem. But that will simply give us confidence that we are doing what God wants us to. And so immediately after that he says, for every man shall bear his own burden or his own responsibility. This word burden is really an interesting one. And that's what makes the Greek language so tremendously interesting. It's what has been called a picture language. Very accurate. And yet very picturesque. Now this word here is literally an invoice. Now you know what an invoice is. I don't need to tell you. That's a list of those things that have been purchased. And if you're a delivery man, you're responsible to deliver what's on that invoice. Now let's just put it this way, very simply. God has given you some goods to deliver. Are you delivering them? Oh, well, I don't have Brother So-and-so's gift. Now, that isn't it. God hasn't given you Brother So-and-so's responsibility. You've got your invoice. No matter who you are, what you are, where you live, how long you've been saved, you have an invoice. And when you get the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to say, did you deliver those goods? And my responsibility in life is to deliver the goods God has given to me. And I must bear my responsibility. I must bear my task. You may remember the parable that the Lord spoke in Mark chapter 14. He spoke of the kingdom of God as being like unto a man going into a far country. He called his servants together, and he did three things. First of all, he gave them authority. Now, you can't serve without authority. And the authority would be in his name. They could carry on business in his name. Now, you and I have authority. We're carrying on God's business in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, unto every man his work. He told this one what to do, and now you work in the garden, and you work in the house, and you work in the stable, and you work here, and you work there. To every man his work. Then he said, watch. Now there you have summed up the Christian life. And so you have been given your work. I have been given mine. I will not have to answer for your work. You will not have to answer for mine. Now get out your invoice, as it were. Take a look at it. What does God want me to do with my life? Get it done, and your life will be a success. Fail, and your life will be failure. So that's part of our load. But I want us to hurry along. We're going now to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, first of all, our load consists of others' burdens. Secondly, of our own personal responsibility. We can't shirk that. Now, here, we're to bear the vessels of the Lord. And, of course, this is taken from the tabernacle. When they were going to move the tabernacle in the Old Testament days from one camping ground to another, the Levites, the family of Levi, the tribe of Levi, there were three families in it. There was the family of Gershon, the family of Merari, and the family of the Kohathites. And each one was given part of the tabernacle to carry. Now, if you'd been a Gershonite, you had to carry what God said you had to carry. Don't you come over here trying to carry what a Merarite is supposed to carry, or a Kohathite. Some were to carry the foundation things, the heavy sockets that they put down. And they went first. They laid the foundation. That's the evangelist. And then the next family came along, and they had the curtains and the boards. And when they got through, they put the posts in the sockets, and they put the boards in the sockets, and then they put up the curtains around. And when you got through, you had a building. That's the pastor. The evangelist lays the foundation, preaching the gospel. The pastor comes along, and he gathers God's people together on the same foundation. But he unites them. And then, when all the building was ready, over the hill comes the Kohathites. And they've got on their shoulder these golden vessels from the sanctuary. They were all covered because no one was allowed to see them, not even the Kohathites. The priest went in and covered them with a garment, with a cloth, first of all. They used the veil, and they covered them. Then the Kohathites came, and they carried them. You see, everything's in readiness. And so the Kohathites, they know where to put the lamp, they know where to put the altar, they know where to put the table, they know where to put the brazen altar and the golden altar. They know the difference between the two, and they know where to put the ark with the mercy seat on it. And they put these things in the right place so that now they're ready for the worship of God. Now that's the teacher. God gives the evangelist. He lays the foundation, preaching the gospel. The pastor gathers them together in a local church, and the teacher comes along and he teaches them the difference between the brazen altar and the golden altar, between worship and service, between the lamp and the table. He teaches them the truths concerning worship. But now here's what I'm getting to. There was a time when the princes of Israel, in thanks to God, they contributed a number of wagons and oxen to pull them. All right, says God through Moses, now we're going to give these wagons and the oxen to the Gershonites and the Merarites because they've got heavy loads. It wouldn't be easy carrying these big brazen copper and silver great stands, as it were, sockets they're called, on which the posts went. It wouldn't be easy to carry those across the desert. All right, says God through Moses, you can have a wagon to carry them. And the same with the Merarites. They're carrying these boards and all these curtains. All right, you can have some wagons. But what about us, say the Kohathites? We've got these golden vessels to carry. You carry them on your shoulders. You see? Those vessels spoke of Christ. And you can't present Christ with a wagon and a team of oxen. It takes a living witness to the saving grace of God. You read so many ridiculous things nowadays, you don't pay much attention to them. If you did, you'd go off your rocker. Some time ago, I read one of the silliest ones. They're going to turn out preachers by computers now. Well, maybe they won't be any worse than some of the ones that have been turned out. Kind of hard to think they would be. But now, if that isn't something, if that isn't idiocy, run to seed. And you punch a button. And then you run over here and you pick out a preacher. Here he is. Stand him all out. Now where'll he go? Well, as long as he doesn't come to Shan Hill Chapel, it's all right to me wherever he goes. But isn't that ridiculous? Now how does God do it? He saves a man, makes a new creature out of him, fills him with the Holy Spirit and gives him a gift, and says, now you go out and I'll take care of you. That's the New Testament pattern. May God keep us on it all the time. Now that's what Isaiah is talking about here. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now here's this holy vessel. Let's just say the lampstand. Suppose you had met on the way across the desert one of these hippie characters. And you say, what's that you've got in your shoulder? Oh, that's the golden lampstand from the tabernacle of God. Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. God says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You would judge what was being carried by the man that carried it. And you and I, brethren and sisters, I can't go into it in detail, but I think we could go to the New Testament and show that just as those golden vessels typified Christ, the thought in the golden vessels that we bear is our testimony for Christ. Now God says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the law. Spiritually clean. Morally clean. How dare I handle the holy things of God unless I'm clean? Morally clean, spiritually clean, doctrinally clean. This is part of our load. And you, wherever you go, you're bearing Christ. Brother Eddie's been talking to you on Wednesday night about that. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a thought. Now be clean. Be clean. When you begin to talk to somebody about Christ, are they thinking in their mind something about you that's derogatory to the testimony of Christ? They shouldn't be able to. But let's move on, because I'd like to at least point out, and that's all we'll do, Luke chapter 14. Another part of the load that every one of us is to bear is in Luke 14, verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Part of our load is the cross. Now that isn't your afflictions. If you have migraine headaches, well, I'm sorry for it, but that isn't your cross. If you have arthritis, I'm sorry for it, but that isn't your cross. There's only one cross. It's the cross of Christ. But why does it say his cross? Because we're to make that cross our own. You remember Galatians 6:14, if we'd read down a little farther. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I'm saved. No, he didn't. He said, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He made the cross of Christ his. And when you saw a man carrying a cross in olden days, you said, there's a man under the sentence of death. That's where we are, brethren. Thank God, not under the sentence of eternal death, but we're under the sentence of death to the things of this world and the things of sin. And if we're going to be true disciples, we should take up our cross daily and follow him. Just in closing now, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Another part of our load is the name of Christ. We're to bear it. If we had time, time is gone. But if we had time, we'd see that not only was Paul to bear it, but that name has been called on all of us. It's said of Alexander the Great, that Greek conqueror, that one day he caught one of his soldiers in a most despicable act. He said to him, what's your name? He says, Alexander. Said, Alexander, change your name right now and never again use the name of Alexander until you can live a life that is worthy of it. When I tell people I'm a Christian, what am I doing? I'm bearing the name of Christ. Am I living a life that's worthy of it? Is Christ saying to me, McKay, change your name until you can live a life worthy of that name that I've called on you? Are we carrying our load? the burdens of others, our own personal responsibility, the holy vessels of the Lord, the cross of Christ, and the name of Christ. God help us to do so for His glory, shall we pray. Father, dismiss us with thy blessing, we pray. We thank you for the spiritual refreshing of coming together and singing the praises of the Lord and praying for one another and reading thy word and seeking to exhort each other to live for him who died for us. Separate us now with thy rich blessing, we pray of thee, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.